Praise the Lord and God bless you, Pastor Rice, Sister Rose, and all the saints. This is Sister Diane Johnson, who's so thankful and blessed to be at the Overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, and praise your name. And the broadcast and the daily prayer of blessing and good food for the soul. Thank you, Brother Rice, for all your edifying and encouraging preaching of Jesus with the love and joy you always have. Just keep on preaching as the saints do need you. May the Lord help the saints to press on and fight the good fight of faith. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come as my prayer. May the Lord bless you all and Maranatha.
Praise the Lord, saints. Called to be saints. Oh, we found favor with God. Undeserving of the least of his mercies. That's what the psalmist said. That's a good attitude. That'll get you places. That'll get you in the presence of the Lord. Undeserving. All right, this morning, Brother Timothy is going to share with us. Now, I understand his position, and God understands his position. Praise God, but he still have to go through it. You know, that doesn't remove him from it. He understands what we go through, but still we have to go through it. So Tim, he'll have to just, be crucified this morning and go forth in faith. And we will pray, Father, anoint your servant to speak with power and conviction. Thank you, Lord, speak from the earnestness of his heart as you give him grace to speak. He is a minister, so you give him the ability, O God. And we would hear what the Spirit says, Lord. We would receive this as from you, Lord, and we would respond in kind. We need your help in this, Lord. I know that I'm praying right, Lord. Let him speak as the oracles of God. Let us hear what the Spirit said. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. God be all the glory. God be all the praise. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, saints. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Heavenly Father, help me to project my voice better. I've come up short in that, Lord. I confess my faults, my fault that I can be healed, Lord. And I want to do the will of God, and I'm moving in the fear of the Lord. And so I believe you're going to help me, Lord. And so thank you for this opportunity, saints, to speak. And what will this Baptist say, I would think. So help me, Lord.
Help him, Lord.
Well, anyway, one thing I want to start out and say is that for me to stand up here, I believe this has to be the will of God, and I wouldn't do this unless it was in the will of God, and I have a desire to do that, and I'm thankful that for the man of God, and I certainly wouldn't do it unless I was under authority, and so the man of God has put me up, and so I'm endeavoring to yield, and see what the Lord had me to say. There's many things run through my mind. Should I say this? Should I say that? And so I'm just believing that God's going to help me, and what's going to come out, what needs to come out. And so I want to start sort of like this. I'd say, kind of like with a testimony. You know, I know one time I went about just to live my life and fulfill my lust and my iniquity to the full. And there I was just doing my thing, as it were. Things I would do was just sort of business as usual. And in my family, there's many folks and such, and I'm the only one I know that's probably truly born again. And easily I'm the worst rascal out of all of them. I have a couple brothers, older brother. He passed away, and my younger brother. And in the natural, they're way better men than I ever was. But this is the wisdom of God. It's how God works it. He has been forgiven much, loved much. And so then God revealed to me that I was his son. And he started me on this journey. And I remember when my burden rolled away. And while I felt so light, I could just fly around my house. And I mean, literally. And so what a revelation that was when God revealed to me that I was a sinner. Because before that, I didn't have a clue. So, but with that, I have been forgiven much and caused me to love much, and it sent me on a journey, and I, uh, I never look back. I thank God for that. That's by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And even saying that, you know, we can say that, but we have to say that in truth and sincerity, because often we say things, we say the right thing, but God looks upon our heart. He knows the difference. So anyway, I began this journey, and for me to live is Christ. You know, my whole, Jesus is all in all to me. He's everything. And I mean that literally. I love him because he first loved me. And so as much as lies in me, I want to serve him, do whatever I can. And I present my body each day, living sacrifice. Now that's by the grace of God.
Yes, Lord.
And I say that carefully because I don't want to do anything but give him the credit for it. And so anyway, I begin like this. He told Brother Brandon, he said, now you got to get the people to believe. And that was sort of his commission. And told Brother Steer, he said, I want my house full. And he said to Pastor Rice, feed my sheep.
Hallelujah.
Okay, now this with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So if God sends you forth and stuff, then he'll also supply the elements and the things necessary to bring these things to pass. He watches over his word to perform it. So I think the Lord wants me to talk a little bit about perception and the operation of his hand. And of course, I have my notes here and all that. I thought about this. Should I say that? Should I say this? And anyway, God's in everything. And you have to remember, he speaks to us all the time, a lot of times in our circumstances. And you have to understand that the work he's doing, it's a curious work, a lot right in the lower parts of earth in our heart. So it's not necessarily perceptible every day. You know, you can't say, well, today I see I made a spiritual advance here, you know, and it's, it's a tedious work. And sort of like we're on the operating table and God's working on our hearts. And so I liked Edward's testimony there. I'm going to use that a little bit. And, he talked about where he was, the irritator, and I call the irritator and the agitator was, afflicting him. For years. Now, he was wondering, well, why wasn't the man of God doing something about this? And, well, I believe the man of God was. He was seeing the operation of God's hand taking place, and he was letting it run its course. Now, if Stan and Edward there started getting fist fights, well, then he might have had to intervene and say, okay, this is too much. But as long as, it was sort of contained, he was letting God be God, and that's what happens, And so what happened was this is, but Al Edward, through all this, he was he expressed, he was dealing with repentance. He even though he couldn't fully understand what was happening, he just he wanted things to be right. And even when he didn't do the right thing, it brought him remorse and repentance. So he was working on with a repentant heart, and even though he, in that, there was some levels of failure in that, and but still, his heart was to do right. And then God allowed that. He'll allow us to go for a season, and because, when we become born again, we get a mind to do right. But if we could all of a sudden start crossing every T and dotting every I, then we get the big head, and we think that, we're doing it. And, we don't need God, like the account where Brother Steer had the brother, they tarried for the Holy Ghost. And then when he got it, he said, hey, well, he didn't think he didn't need Brother Steer anymore. Okay. So, Edward was entered to just travail and a struggle. And he said, Zion travails, a man child cannot come forth. But you see, God was dealing with something in Edward's heart. And he was using Stan as to help bring this out. Now, we need to understand that concept. So whenever you're in a situation or circumstance, God engineers all our trials. He knows the intensity of it, the length of it, and the time of deliverance. And so whatever situation you find yourself circumstance, just remember that God is dealing with you.
Hallelujah.
Now, he does multiple works at any given time, so he's dealing with your brother as well. And because Edward brought this out, we're not out in the world there amongst the heathen. So the things that we do amongst us here. So the work that needs to be done is going to be among us. And this was prescribed one time as a scrimmage. Sort of like, You know, when you have a scrimmage in football, you know, one lines up as offense, one lines up as a defense, but they're both on the same team. And so what you're doing is you're sort of preparing you for the big battle. Okay, so now, so in the fullness of time, now this took a while. It took a while, and then it got to where he had to get Edward down. He was down to about nothing. And then when God got his heart right, then he did the work instantly. And when Edward got his heart right, then the agitator and the irritator, God sent him away. He didn't need it anymore. But there's also something, there's a scripture, I think that Isaiah talks about, that he'll purge out the rebels, but we'll loathe ourselves for the evils that we have done. And so in Edward's situation, you know, he found a place of repentance, and you see, stands no longer here. Okay, so now, so remember, this is the intricate working of God, so let's see, I want to talk about Rico's testimony there. Now, Brother Rico, same thing, you know, he was, now God allow you to sort of go for a season, you know, continue blows, as it were, you know, or he'll let you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And, you know, and he, and one of the things that hinders us in our walk is, it's called the gall of bitterness, the bond of iniquity. So these experiences, stuff we go through, you know, it writes things on our heart, I believe in it. So it bonds us to iniquity. So we're looking for comfort, but we're looking for it in all the wrong places. And so, well, why does God put you through that? Well, I think one way he wants you to see his word is fulfilled, even in a negative or a positive. You find out that the way of the transgressor is a hard way. And so he accents the positive with the negative. And the other thing is, you know, this is a great salvation, resurrection journey. So God wants to get the maximum glory out of this. So it's kind of like he's the ultimate overcomer, and sort of seems like he stacks the deck against himself, and then he fixes it all, makes it all right. And the other thing is, he accents the positive with the negative, but he has to deliver us from these things. Now, he knows these issues are in our heart. So what he has to do is he engineers our trials, situations, circumstance. So what we have to do is when the trials come, we have to look at having the right response. And this is a parallel walk we have with the Lord, and that parallel walk is in total agreement.
Hallelujah.
So whatever he does, you have to realize it's all for your good. Trials, and now the loving kindness, and all the other reason is no man approaches unto God. So if everything was going okay for you, and everything was all fine and stuff, well, who would run to God? Okay, so that's one of the reasons. The loving kindness of the Lord is the things, the trials and things God puts you through. It helps you to draw nigh, run to the cross, run to Jesus. And so that's what happened with Edward, you know. And so, but what takes is also that if he just comes in, he cleans your heart up right away and stuff, then he leaves an open space, and then we can get back in. So it's a gradual thing, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, gradual taking place. And as he does, and he gets the dross out, then he fills it with the love of God. And so, and this is the wisdom of God, this is the operation of God. I like to think about one of my favorite accounts is Paul, and he was on the Damascus Road. Now, he let Paul persecute the church. He said he was in the Pilate's judgment hall whenever Jesus was there, you know, but God had to get him off his high horse, as it were. You know, he was a Pharisee, and could speak 14 languages fluently. And so, but this was the wisdom of God, because it was much zeal and intensity that Paul persecuted the church. God used that through him to strengthen and help the church. Now that's the wisdom of God. So the remorse and whatever the state of repentance he had and all, God allowed that, to use that in the state. And, but even with that, here's Paul 14 years as a mighty apostle, and he cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am."
Amen.
You know, I still see this law working in my members. And so you enter into this struggle. And so God has to let sin in our lives become exceedingly sinful. Thank you, Lord. So it will, you know. And in Proverbs, it talks about a righteous man will fall seven times. And I believe the seven denotes perfection or divine completion. So what it's saying is not necessarily seven times. It means there's a set of number of falls and rise and stuff. And this is all in God's eternal purpose to save us, okay? Because we have to realize that our sufficiency of God, and we need him to save us. And so we're going to sin. We're going to sin. Now, not to say that I say, let's go ahead and sin, but we're going to miss the mark. But in the missing the mark, it's going to cause us to run to Jesus. And so in the way the devil tries to use our sins against us, but God's going to use them for us. And so, but now Enrico's situation, okay. Evidently, he had some kind of issue going on there, and I don't know what it is. But maybe he thought, he thought he was done wrong. Okay. Well, that bonded him his iniquity, and so he couldn't receive from the man of God and all that stuff. And so he had this victim mentality. He's a victim. He's a victim. That's why Pastor Rice tells us all the time, you know, I haven't been done wrong. Amen. You know, and we need to do that. We need to understand it. So you don't, you know, you don't want to be say, I've been done wrong. Because when you do that, then, first of all, that's not right. You know, we haven't been done wrong. And but anyway, what happened was, is he had, but he found a place of repentance. Now, I believe he really did have a place of repentance for two reasons. One, because the man of God said so. And it sounded like genuine meaning. Now, he didn't show up for Sabbath, his last Sabbath. But what I'm saying is, even in your repentance, you have various stages of failures. Because you're still, you know, you're in this repentance because you have to really travail and agonize in this stuff. And, you know, and so, and then in the process of doing that, what God will do is he'll work this work in your heart. And when he gets the heart right, then he'll do the work instantly. Okay, and then what he'll do, he'll fill your heart with the love of God. So that's why we need our brothers and our sisters too, because we're going to be made perfect by love, and that'll especially come by offenses. So if your brother sins against you, well then this is your opportunity to prove your love.
Hallelujah.
If he bids you to go a mile, you go too. So you forgive him, you receive him as a brother, you don't treat him left-handed, you understand? And so in God's operation, he has had these works that he ordained that we should walk in. And so what will happen is it will manifest throughout the day and all. So what you have to work on is what your response is going to be, not what they did or what you think they did. Now, this was preached here one time, and when I heard it, whoo, I knew this was right. Now, my old flesh kicked when I heard it, though, but I knew it was right. And this is what it said. Now, you know that brother or that sister you're having the hardest time getting along with? We need to thank God especially for them, because that's the one that God is using most incidentally to get you into the kingdom. Okay? Because that one requires the greatest number of death to yourself, to you. And so I think and God will do situations too where he'll put opposites together. Now, me and Brother Ron, everybody knows we're opposites in a sense. Ron, if it was up to him, he'd build everything with a sledgehammer. It's up to me. I'd build everything with a microscope. Okay. So for us to get along and work together, now you see we work together every day.
Amen, brother.
Now when we're working together, it's like we work as one man. But what has happened is over the years we've learned to do this. So for me to get along with Ron, I gotta stop being Tim. He gotta stop being Ron, and we become
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
See? So now he's become a little more thorough in his due dealings. And I've come a little less thorough, you see. So, and this is why we need our brothers, we need our sisters. They help us, okay. And they show us where we're at, you know. So if your brother comes and he rattles your cup, what he's showing is what's in the cup, see. And so we have to understand that. Now, so Enrico's situation, you know, I still believe God's dealing with him. And what's nice about that, too, is that also helps the man of God, because only God can convince a man of sin. So Pastor Rice, the true shepherd, has cared for the sheep. I know it was quite a decision for him to send Rico out there. But now in his situation, he can see God's dealing with him. That helps him too in the dealing with stuff. See, because God speaks to us in our circumstances. It's sort of like when we look up here, I see now this. Now I want to say this. Perception. Okay. Talk about perception a little bit. Now we have to have the right perception to go on to perfection. So what's the right perception? The right perception is we have the right perception, the wrong perception, or limited perception. Most of the time we have limited perception. We just don't know everything. And it's God's purpose that we don't know everything. And the thing is, so what we have to know is we have to know God knows everything. And he knows what's best for us. And so we have to work on being content whatever situation we find ourselves in and have the right response. And see, this is faith working. And so looking up there and stuff, you see, okay, and let's see. So like even looking up there and stuff, you see this picture. There's nobody around the wall there and stuff. You know, for a while now since this war started escalating. Well, do we do this? Here they are, they're up there, they were bobbing their heads, and supposedly this is their God, and they trust him. Well, now when it's in the middle of the battle, what's going on here? Well, how long well do? We go to the prayer house. Okay, we go up there armed. Are we fighting, or are we like this? See what I'm saying? So, I mean, when you look around and stuff, and God's speaking to us, and all the situations and circumstances, and how does this apply to us? So anyway, now I said one time, or was last time I spoke, I said, you know, we have the three kinds of perceptions. You know, one is that I'm all right and you're all right. Another one was I'm all right, but you're not all right. And I did a third one that says you're not all right and I'm not all right. Now, but there's the one where I remembered. It goes something like this. Now, you know, I'm not going to do what's right. But because you're a Christian, you need to do right about me not doing right. Now, I'm not going to do what's right. But because you're a Christian, you need to do right about me not doing right. Well, you know what? That's still right. Okay. So it's not right per se, but it's right for the spiritual purpose.
Hallelujah.
So you see, so the thing is, you know, we're God's, because we have this parallel walk with God, in a sense. We do it in a way is like, okay, he's long-suffering with us. He's long-suffering with our neighbor. Okay, he wants us to give him the preeminence. He gives us the preeminence. He prefers us. Okay, and so that's why, as Rice says, it's, you know, bad when we can't give God praise. And you know, because all he does for us and stuff. Now, I want to talk about a little bit again. Now, there's 8.2. Supposedly 8.2 billion people on the face of the earth. Whew, that's a lot of folks. And most of them are all going to hell. Okay, now they say there's something like 25,000 people a year that die of starvation. 10,000 of them are children. That's one person dying of starvation every 4 minutes, for 4 seconds. Okay, and so here we are at the community overcomer. We drink fresh, clean water here. We have organically grow fruit, food and stuff. And my whole life, ever since I was a young boy, I've always had food to eat, water to drink, clothes to wear. And so what do I have to complain? What do we have to complain about? See, and that's a lot of times is we're really not thankful. We don't understand the blessings that we have. And in doing that, we don't do right. And so we're hard folks.
Amen.
But thank God he's determined to save us. And but anyway, where was I going to go, Lord? I was thinking something. Oh, but anyway, so perception again. I want to talk a little bit more about perception. Brother Steer mentioned one time, you know, he said about when in those days there was only 8 souls saved. He said, what if there was only 8 here? Now, how did you perceive that? Did you say, oh, well, did Brother Steer really mean 8? No, he didn't really mean 8. Okay, well, if you perceive it that way, you're probably thinking carnally, and you're lacking in the fear of the Lord. Now, if you said, oh, my God, Jesus, Am I going to be one of the eight?
Yes, amen.
See, and so that you probably walk in the spirit and you're in the fear of the Lord. Now, if you say, well, if there's going to only be eight, surely I'll be one of them, then you probably, you may be puffed up or you think you're spiritual. Now, you see, that's what we, why we need the preaching of the word stuff. Because every man does that, is right in his own eyes. And so we, you know, we have a way of things that is right. And so that's why God has a man of God stand up, reprove, rebuke. But we have to receive the man of God. Now, you know, I can tell you, bear witness to Pastor Rice. I've been with a man, probably 26 years. And if there's ever a manifestation of a true shepherd, Jesus Christ, it's that man right there. Now, I don't say that to flatter him. I say that in sincerity. Love. This man has watched for my soul for all that time. And there's been times at Grace Community when my old man was raging, and I wanted to come down and kick over the tables and tell everybody to kiss my butt. But I couldn't do it because it was the love of God that was constraining me. The love for the man of God, saints, and all that. And he's a man of integrity. He's an honest man. One time he came to me and he was reproving me for something that he believed I had done. And well, I couldn't see it, but I stayed in my place. I didn't try to square up the man of God. And well, it was not very short after he came back to me and he asked me to forgive me because he had made a mistake. So even when he made a mistake, he confessed it. He was honest. I said, wow. And, you know, sure. And so that's what I'm saying. Repentance is, a lot of times we miss the mark in two ways, saints. We don't aim for it. And if we miss the mark, we don't repent. You know, we don't say we missed the mark. We make excuse and all. And so we're going to miss the mark. And so our part in this is we repent, which is agree with God. And it's the purest form of worship. And so now, but, you know, and we're all undone, saints. So, you know, that's why we need God. Okay, let's see if I get something on here. So this is, you know, this Christianity we do here, it's practical, saints. You know, the word, you know, there's three manifestations of the word of God. You have the written word, the spoken word, and you have the living word. And so, as you know, the book of Acts is being written. Here we are. It's still being written now. You know, we're part of the church. And so the things that are in the scriptures and the thing, you know, they manifest among us. And it's a practical thing. And so here about the old man. Two things about the old man. One thing the old man loves more than anything else is himself. And the one thing the old man hates more than anything else is to suffer. And so you see, that's a lot of times when we, you know, Christians, we like deliverance and nothing wrong with that. But too often we're looking for physical deliverance. You know, now God doesn't expect us to do penance. You know, like Martin Luther, where they would go up the steps on their knees and all that and stuff. But the thing is, if you go all day long trying to figure out how you can get out of suffering and all, well, then you're really not. Yeah, you're ditching out. Okay, so we have to have a mind to suffer, and so, and rightly so, because we're going to be made like the art of Savior, perfect through suffering. Incidentally, in this parallel walk, you know. I always like to talk about the fear of the Lord. And so, you know, things that Jesus did, he was our example. He showed us the way. But he also had, we are required to make our call election sure. Y'all know when Jesus had to make his call election sure? You know when he did it? In the garden. When he heard that he feared. He heard that he feared. So, what we really greatly need more. We need the fear of the Lord. Because without the fear of the Lord, you cannot be saved. So it's something that you need to seek after and desire. And then, yes, as I spoke the last time, you hear the man of God praying for it all the time. See, that's another thing. Here's a man, an example. He goes up there, he shows us what to pray, how to pray. You hear what he says and stuff. And so our work is to believe on him God has sent. Now, he didn't choose this for himself. We didn't choose this for ourselves. God just chose us we're no different than that, except we found grace in His eyes. And so He's working through us. And except for the grace of God, there we'd be out there being transgenders or whatever, you know. So we see, you know, the violence and corruption that's filling the earth as spirits have been let loose. And it waxes worse and worse every day. And it's so much you can't even hardly look at it without it. But seeing all these things that shall be dissolved, what man were these wars and fights among us? See, now that this we say this all the time, but we really need to get it down to the application of things. So it's a good example. Now, Brother James over there, sometimes, whenever I go over to take a shower, sometimes there's no hot water. So Brother James, he's the brother that's responsible, or he's taking the stewardship of keeping the water hot over there. So when I go over there, there's no hot water. Now, what am I going to do? Well, the first thing I believe that I think, well, this is Brother James, but this is Brother James. So I think, well, maybe he's just going through. Maybe he's just, you know, maybe he don't feel good or whatever and stuff. But the thing is, you know this is God dealing with me. Now he's dealing with Brother James too. So, but now what can I do about this? Well, first of all, I can think, well, Brother sure is faithful about the hot water over there. Think about all the times I get a shower over there. I can think about the fact that I have water to wash with. Some people don't have water to drink. You know, I can go take a shower somewhere else. I cannot take a shower. See, now this is a work that God ordained that I should walk in. And this gives me an opportunity to be long-suffering with James and love him. Why not? I mean, that's what we're here for. So God's going to put this in a situation. Yeah, your brother's going to trespass against you. And guess what? You're going to trespass against him. And so while we're doing this, while you long-suffering him, he's long-suffering with you. God's long-suffering with us. You know, and the same effort it takes for you to get along with a certain brother or sister, it takes the same effort for them to get along with you. Yeah, that's right. So if you have somebody that's easy to get along with, well, then it's easy for them to get along with you. But if it's hard for you to get along with them, well, it's the same effort to fight them too. If we would, now this is perception. If we would perceive this right, then we'll have, this will help us to have the right response. And so I thought about an allegory one time about the pertaining to the body of Christ. And of course, Brother Steer said that there's going to be one saint saved for take the place all of the angels that fell. Okay, so that's the exact amount. Now let's say that exact amount is 200, just for the sake of what I'm saying here. Okay. Well, Jesus Christ is the foundation, the head cornerstone. And so each one is necessary for the building. So let's say there's 200 bricks to build this house. Well, for that house to be complete, your brother has to be in there. Your sister has to be in there. Okay. And so God wants his house built. But what he uses the divine mortar to keep this house together. It's called charity. And so that's what we need. That's why we need to have charity one for another. So you got to figure it out. If you're kicking your brother to the curb or you're treating him badly and stuff, well, what you're doing is you're saying that you don't need him. Well, that's not so. See, if we think about this right, because if your brother needs, for you to be saved, your brother needs to be saved. For your brother to be saved, you need to be saved. Okay, so if you get the right perception on this, well, then you'll probably be a little more long-suffering with your brother. And they'll be a little long-suffering with you. You know, and so, anyway, let's see. So in Hebrews, so yeah, therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and faith toward God of the doctrines of baptisms, and the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. So God does permit, and most of what we do is in the permissive will of God. And that's to bring us to the perfect will of God. And always think about that. Just a good way to understand it is this, you know, you got the two sons that are asked to work in the vineyard, and one says, yeah, I'll go, and then he don't go. One says, I ain't going to go, and then he goes. Well, in the perfect will of God, you'll get to where you'll say, I'm going to go, and you go. You see, but we're not there yet. So God's going to get us there. Thank God. Hallelujah. So we're buried with him in baptism. We're also risen with him through faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And for a just man falleth seven times and rise up again, but the wicked shall fall in mischief. So in Micah 7 and 8 said, now rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? My eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. So, you know, my mother used to say, I had a mother who had a very nurturing mother. She had a lot of simple wisdom. And she used to say like this, she says, a man should know what side his bread is buttered on.
Yes.
And so, you know, so God has showed us favor. And that's also with the man of God or your brother, such and all. And so what I'm saying is, so you should cultivate that. You shouldn't try to tear him down, you know. And so when God is trying to help us in our trials and situations and circumstances, he'll also work through the man of God, especially under authority. Now, what would he do? Well, he might tell you, you need to let a brother take a shower in your trailer. You let somebody move in your trailer with you. Okay, now this is God trying to deliver you. See, but you need to receive the man of God. And when the trouble in the water comes, when the word is being spoken, you got to get in the water.
Amen.
Because if you don't, you might miss your opportunity.
Amen.
So you have to realize this is God wanting to save you. Because he loves you. And so we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, called according to purpose. Now I want to read this. Okay, so God made man to sin, some of the elements of the hidden wisdom of God that we need to keep in memory. If we don't, then we will have the potential to crucify the Lord, to reject the Christ in one another. Now, that's especially important in time of discerning the Lord's body, which is all the time, really, but there's more emphasis on now. And if you try to minister to one something in Christ Jesus, and if I rejected Christ Jesus in you, and I only focus on your sin, especially if it's in the past, under the blood of Jesus Christ, you minister to me, I reject it. It has no effect than what Philemon is saying. Let the communication of your faith be effectual as you acknowledge Christ in you and each other. In spite of that which you might be accused to your face in your brother, and that accusation will come from the devil. And he will say your brother's not of Christ because he does this or that. And you might actually turn around and see your brother do it that. The accusation of the devil is even sometimes manifest by the deeds in the flesh, trying to challenge your confidence in him as being in Christ. But you got to remember, God has to let sin become exceedingly sinful that it might appear sin, that we will truly abhor ourselves and cry out, save me, Lord, lest I perish. Hallelujah. So God works, you know, again, he uses our sin for us. Thank God for that. Okay, let's see. So now the gall of bitterness. So what will happen is, you know, through rejection, betrayals, we build up walls around our hearts, walls of protection, and we harden through deceitfulness of sin. And so what happens is when God's trying to deal with us and all, a lot of times that's why we need the repetition of the preaching of the word. God has to continually keep coming at you, coming at you, coming at you. And the purpose is so at some point it'll make some conception in your heart and bring forth that fruit. But you have to be careful that you're not hardening your heart and stiffening your neck even more so. Because we start out hardened and we have to be purged of that. Okay. So he that is often reproved, harden his heart, stiffen his neck, can be cut off suddenly without remedy. And so we're reproved every day. But we don't want to harden our hearts. Okay, so we need to reprove. And our hearts are deceitful, and above all, desperately wicked. And so, but God knows what's in our heart. And so he engineers our trials and situations so that we can be delivered from these situations, certain things that are in our heart that's not right. But see, we have nothing we call our own, even our sin. So when God, thank you, brother. So when the reproof and the rebuke comes up, we got to give it up. Give it up. Okay, let's see. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping me. And so we try to hide this from the Lord and each other, and that's why God sends prophets and the man of God to drive these, to disclose these issues. And so that's why it's needful. That's why the devil's always trying to get us not to receive the man of God and not to receive his preaching. He'll get us to try to look at him after flesh. Now, in your perception, you know, we're going to, you know, the accuser brother, he'll, I want to go back to this little testimony. In my life, I did a lot of shenanigans. Ever since a little boy, I was a little shenanigan meister. I was just about it. And I learned to be sneaky and do all kind of stuff. But anyway, what I would do a lot of times is when I wanted to pull some shenanigans, I'd rehearse it. I'd sort of go over to my mind. I'd rehearse in my mind. And what I would do so that when I would say what I was going to say, I'd have sort of a poker face. Okay. Well, that can happen with a lie. A lot of times we're talking about a lie. If you receive a lie and you start to look at it and see it and see it, then it'll start to manifest when you look at it. It'll become real to you. So as you're looking at it, it's a lie, and it's still a lie, and that's how it works. And so that's why you got to always be casting down his imagination, and you got to guard your heart with all diligence. Because if you don't, what happens is it becomes real to you. You know, just like I had my testimony about the thing that I was saying all the time before I knew it, I said it, and I was lying. I'm thinking, I didn't do that. You know, but God, by his grace, thank God, he gave me found a place of repentance, showed me there in my ways. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so God has chosen this one method, the foolishness of preaching, save them which believe. And so that's where the devil a lot of times is, you know, he's going to ramp up his campaign to affect your hearing. And the one thing that affects our hearing, two things that will affect our hearing. One is the condition of our heart. And the other thing is that we're talking. And a lot of times, now we don't necessarily doing this, but our minds are riveting and riveting and riveting. You know, and pastors preaching, and we're like, hey, look what brother so-and-so is doing over there, whatever, you know. And so we're being distracted. And so, but the more we understand that, the more we'll pay attention to what's, and see, and that's why it's good to mind your own business. You know, as it were, because you can be distracted. Okay, let's see. So we minimize and we maximize. And what I mean in that is, talks about getting the beam out of our eye. One reason we have a hard time getting the beam out of our eyes is seeing clearly, I think, because we minimize and maximize. You know, when our neighbor does something, it's like, oh, my, so we make a big mountain out of it, you know. And then when we do it, it's just a little thing and stuff. Okay. So that's why you have to sort of compensate. And that's why you have to give your brother the benefit of the doubt and stuff. You know, when you judge yourself and stuff, you probably see it do the curve. You say, well, I'm probably, because when we tell a story about something, well, we have a tendency to embellish it.
Sure.
We put us always in the best light.
All right.
You know, we say, well, you know, I remember this when I was, a good example of this when I was a kid. Again, my mother had a lot of simple wisdom. You know, I'd go, Mom, Rick's been picking on me. I've been good. I didn't do anything, you know. Oh, I'm telling you, I was just minding my own business. And you know what Mom would say? Yeah, right. What did you do, Rick? What did you do, Rick? See? And saying, and that's how it is a lot of times. You know, my mom said it takes two to tango, you know, and that's it. Now, so if your brother is cutting up and all, then what you have to do is that's your opportunity to, you know, take the low road, as it were. You know? And these are works that God ordained that we walk in, not setting up soup kitchens and stuff like that. It's it. So throughout the day, these things will manifest. And so, but you have to always remember, whatever situation, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, God's dealing
Amen.
With you.
Absolutely.
Now he's doing multiple works. Multiple works at any given time. And he's working works in your brothers. But you need to be concerned what's going on in your heart. You'll fare better. Okay, and let's see. So let's see. Spiritual vitality. That's a word I came up with, I guess. I don't know, maybe. But spiritual vitality. Now, what is I'm saying here? Okay, you could be walking around here and you're sucking air and your heart's beating, but you could be greatly lacking in spiritual vitality. Just because you're walking around and what I'm saying is you can have leanness in your soul. So that's the thing, a lot of times, so when we come here, you know, especially here and all, some people get this mindset, this is like a retirement home or whatever and stuff. And so you can, if you're not careful, you'll be here just, you come here and you think, I'm just going to eat, sleep, and poop. You know, and you're not really striving to enter in and to draw nigh to God. And here we are at the Overcomer. We don't punch the time clock. We get delicious meals here. God feeds us spiritually and physically. And then we're find ourselves in ease and Zion, you know. Bad, because much is given, much is required. And so God, and Brother Steer said many times that God uses this in this situation here is not only do we have a responsibility for what we do here, but this goes out to the whole world. And so like when we get up to the tabernacle, why do you think they have microphones inside of there? I remember one time a brother called in here from Ukraine. You know what's going on in Ukraine? I mean, these people are sometimes in fear. And somebody here told me they had somebody to stay with them for a while, came from Ukraine. They were jumpy all the time and stuff. So there's a brother in Ukraine and calling in, maybe an Overcomer, he can hear somebody saying, "Thank you, Father!" You know, maybe that, you know, encourage them out there and stuff. But that's why we have those microphones up there. So we need to discern the body of Christ and also realize that God's put us in a unique situation here and stuff. We need to step up to the plate. And so here's the man of God telling us how to pray. He shows us an example and all. And so, but me saying, hopefully, you know, we'll finally get this. And while this is going on, you know, the whole world's already on fire. World War III. You know, if we ever needed to pray, we sure do need to pray now.
Amen.
Now, and I say this to our shame.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So let's see. Okay. So to be in the house of God and to be in the church, you always want to be under spiritual authority.
Amen.
And being under spiritual authority don't mean that you're here and we want to submit to this, the Spirit's authority. And so what you do in that is you always want to make things and make moves towards submission to the authority. You do things like, for instance, if you're going to leave off the land, it's good to tell the man of God you're going. I mean, this is you saying, I'm under authority. I'm under authority. You know, you convey this stuff. You let it know. And this is for our benefit. For my benefit. I've been under this man for 26 years and I desire to submit to his authority, and I do. But I realize that's for my benefit. And the other thing I think about, here's a man charged to watch for my soul. How'd you like to have that responsibility? I mean, really. I mean, you look from Genesis to Revelation, there's no place in there where it tells a man to watch for his own soul. And if God has entrusted this man, why can't we trust? Now is he gonna slip up, miss the mark once in a while? What do you think? What do you think, saints? Come on, that should be a no-brainer. But that doesn't mean. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now I'm not. I don't have a gig list on Pastor Rice. I'm just saying, you know, we all come short. He's a man like passion. He's having to work out his salvation. And like Ed said the other day, what makes you think he don't want to get it right? Okay, so now there's in the body, there's weaker vessels and there's stronger vessels.
Right.
Really, it's weak and weaker.
Right.
And they say the man is stronger than the woman, okay? Now, y'all know I have a charge to watch your sister Ann or what care for sister Ann. Well, how do I do that? I do it in faithfulness. And so now a lot of times what will happen is when the devil's trying to get between us, he targets her because she's the weaker vessel. See, now I understand that. See, but one problem that the weaker vessels have is they don't realize they're weaker vessels. And so what they need to do is they need to, right, stay in their covering, submission. That means they get told what to do and they do what they're told. And so when you don't do that and you separate yourself, then you're like you're putting yourself out there to be attacked. And so a lot of times when things are going on with me and Sister Ann, I try to get to her. And so but I understand it. So what I do is I just deal with it in that manner. I understand it. I have no enemies after the flesh.
Thank you, Lord.
And I do things to make sure to restore, do things for peace, and try to strengthen her in the faith, give her godly counsel, things that foster godliness, and draw nigh to God. And that's what she do. And her part is she strives to submit what I tell her to do. Now, does she come up short? Absolutely. You know, we all come up short. But in my care, my love of Jesus, care for her, you know, I'm long-suffering with her. She's long-suffering with me. Because I'm not easy to get along either. You know, no, but you have to remember, too, in that situation, because I can't let her rule over me. So I asked God, how should I deal with her? And because it's a new area for me. And he said, just tell her what to do. Will I do that? Okay. Does she always submit to that? No. No. Okay. But I'm still faithful. I do what I'm supposed to do. But then I'm long suffering with her. And she requires a lot of care. For me to actually care for her, I have to lay down my life. And rightly so. So these situations, circumstances God puts us in so that we can foster love and be trying and bring forth fruit. So, but if we look at it right, then we won't get all balled up when things happen. Anyway, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm just trying to pour out my heart here, saints. Hallelujah. So, you know, so God engineers these trials. And be very careful to separate yourself from the body. Because even in the natural, you'll see that, you know, the wolf will go after the sheep that's kind of over there off by itself and stuff. And so... And that's why we stay together as a body. And in that, we should do things as a body, too. You know, like when we start clapping, well, everybody can clap. I mean, you know, unity don't have to be some grandiose thing. You know, we can all just clap at the same time. I mean, that's not difficult. See? And so... So we seek to do things together as a body in unity. And the other day, when Brother Montgomery, they changed their microphone there on the cello. And so now I was trying to help him out with the microphone. He said, well, we don't do that anymore. And I said, well, that's okay. I'm not picking on Brother Montgomery. It's just a good example. And I said, well, you see, a lot of times we don't do well in communication. Just in general communication, you know. He changed his routine. He knew I was helping him with the microphone, but he didn't say anything. Now, he didn't do that malice or you know, but or neglect per se. It's just that we have a problem with that. So we need to be better. That's why we have these two-way radios, you know, so that we can communicate, you know. Of course, some won't carry them, you know. And when we do that, a lot of times, we don't make ourselves available, then in a way we're saying, well, I'm not part of this. You know, I'm not part of this. You know, well, you know, maybe you can carry yours, but I'm not going to carry mine. You know, and so that's what I'm saying. That's when you do it, when you say, I'm going to carry this thing because I want to be available. I want to be part of the body, part of the community. Again, these are simple things that we can do. But what happens is when you don't do that, it shows where your heart is. You know, and it's not in the doing it or the not doing it. It's why you do it or why you don't do it. You understand? And so that's what comes with the perception. And so when these things happen and all, you know, we can look and say, well, if I'm not carrying this around, maybe my heart's not right. You know, maybe I'm saying I'm not part of the body. And a lot of times we don't do this maliciously per se. Sometimes inadvertently, or we don't really consider, because there's a way that seems right. Seems right. Okay, let's see. Woo. So anyway, wilt thou be made whole? It was the thing of Jesus. It was the man that says, where some of us don't want to be made whole. If you are so challenged that sometimes, no matter what someone says to you, your response might be like trying, like they're trying to wound you. And that kind of goes with a wounded spirit too sometimes. And so a lot of times your brother, your sister is actually doing something in righteousness to help you and care for you, Amen. But you don't perceive it that way. Amen. And you think they're against you and all. And so a lot of times, even in situations and circumstances, we know we think our brother isn't doing right or my sister isn't doing right because, okay, they don't cook the biscuits the way I cook the biscuits, or he don't cut the wood, he don't saw his board like the way I saw the board. And a lot of times we're looking at their brother and we're saying, well, they ain't doing right because they're not doing like I do it. And they're not necessarily sinning, you know. And so the thing is, again, this comes to perception. In the actual fact, well, like what I like to do is, when I'm working with brothers, I like to be intreatable. I try to be intreatable. Now, Charles can attest to that, and Ron. One reason is I want to do things that make for peace. I don't want to have such a hard line attitude of what I'm going to do. We got to do it like this, like this, like this. And at the same time, and the other reason I do that is because we all have different perspectives. Yeah. The way you look at something, the way I look at something, different. But we can, as a body, you could say, hey, how about we do it like this? And a lot of times I say, well, that's a good thing. That's right, because I don't see that way. And in doing so, I'm intreatable. And even us being strong and weak, like the other day, Sister Patterson asked me to pick up a pot for her. Okay. Well, see, that gives us opportunity to serve one another. You know, even in the physical. I mean, and when doing so, we're doing service one to another. We're laying down a will. It's not my will. I'm preferring Sister Patterson. I'm picking up for her and stuff. But again, this is why it's so good here to be amongst the saints and all. We have opportunity all day long. This is like I call it the saints' greenhouse. You know, everything's in place here to bring forth the fruit. The only thing that happens is we have to remember about the wild grapes. Okay? God always does his part. Always. He never comes up short. So if there's any coming up short, it's always on our part. And so, but the more we acknowledge that, and then we can actually help us to go on to perfection. So anyway, it's amazing. I thought I'd say this or say that. Strengthen the things that remain. Well, what remains? Faith, hope, and charity. One of the greatest of these is charity. So how do you strengthen things that remain? You do it by use. So God is going to put in situations to manifest, to exercise our faith, exercise our charity and hope. And, you know, I mean, right now it's like seemed like being seemingly forsaken and put you in sort of a Red Sea experience where you think the Red Sea's before you, Egyptians at your back. But these are good places to be because that's when God moves. You know, we need healings. I have multiple afflictions in my body. But I don't look at that. I say that as much as lies in me, if God enables me to get up and present my body, I do it as much as I can do it. And I still believe God for my healing. What am I doing? I'm exercising my hope, my faith. And I love God and I love the people of God. And so I thank God anytime. For the most part, if I can do something to help somebody, I'll do it. You know, and so anyway, so what advantage do we have here? Well, much in every way. You know, so if we have been given much here and we don't take the opportunity to do it, we end up neglecting this great salvation. We're going to have to give account for that. We are saints. We're not going to be able to say that we weren't told, we didn't have the opportunity. No. Okay, so muzzle not the ox to tread out the corn. And that's another thing Paul said. And so that talks about the preaching. Now, we can do that in various ways. You know, we can try to do things that will hinder the man of God and his speaking. Or we just won't receive him. Just because we're sitting in this room and we listen to him don't mean we're receiving him. You know. And then receiving him means you follow that out too. You know, we're all, and Brother Stair said this, we're very good at saying, oh yeah, I'm going to go work in a vineyard. Sit in the dining hall, we say amen. As soon as we do our prayer and then out we go. We go and seek our own. Amen. And, well, how long you think you're going to keep doing that? You know, because every man will have to give account of things done in his body. Now, I don't say this in condemnation. I say to my eyes, encourage you that, you know, because we're here and God has taken away all our excuses. We don't have to touch the time clock. We don't have to worry about what they're going to serve to eat. So love does what's required in every situation. You know, now sometimes when I'm dealing with Sister Ann, you know, she might think I'm a little rough on her or something and all. But one thing God did with the church is the men of God and the brothers, we're not Ahabs. You know, we're not Ahabs. So, you know, sometimes when we're, you know, being stern or we're maintaining our integrity stuff, we're doing it for the purpose of edification and strengthening even the weaker ones. And now you might perceive it as being kind of rough, but like I tell Ann, if I let her rule over me, then that'd be do her a disservice. It'd be do me a disservice and it'll do God a disservice. So in doing that, I'm actually loving her, okay? Amen. I'm doing what's required. Amen. I endeavor to be faithful. And by God's grace. So yeah, and like Brother Pastor Rice says many times, and I'll give your brother the benefit of the doubt. So whenever, you know, we see these situations and circumstances, you know, we always want to know that God is working in the midst. And even though, you know, it does not yet appear what we shall be, even now we are the sons of God. And so God's sort of doing this under a radar, and he's building his church. That's why you often hear me pray that, you know, being called is everything, you've begun a good work in this, you will perform the day that I come, and even now the work's being done. So we just see it through the eyes of faith. And really, if we all look back, we can see that to some degree we've all grown in grace. You know, I mean, things we once used to do, we no longer do. And that's God working in us, you know.
Hallelujah.
We have the treasure in this earthen vessel, whereby the excellency is the power of God, not of ourselves. So, but this is going to be his work. He's going to get all the glory. And so, but you got to remember, though, he does work through men.
Amen.
Through the man of God, through your brother and sister. So he's working in us, among us. That's why it's so important that you have to receive every brother, every sister. You get a witness that a brother's a brother. You know, it even says if your brother sins a sin. Notice how it says brother, brother. So if you start out with the fact this is a brother, you let that drive the train or be determined or nothing among them, then that will help you in your response in dealing with them. And the thing is they're also dealing with you. That's what we don't consider a lot of times. We say, oh boy, I'm not as hard to get along as Edward is. Certainly, you know, I'm not like that rascal, you know. Well, if the truth be known, I'm probably easier to get along than me, you know, if you had the right perspective, you know. But that's on my part. Now, Edward would be different for him. Okay, so, anyway, thank you, Jesus. So a wise man will understand the loving kindness of the Lord, and so in so these trials and situations, the things that we go through, it's God's causing us to draw nigh. So that way we won't think it's strange, the fiery trials when they come. And one reason I think we think it's strange is because there's a way it seems right unto us. And, you know, so it doesn't turn out the way we think it's supposed to. And even when we're having to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, there's almost an automatic kickback in the beginning because, you know, you've done things. I've done this always. Brother Chris brought this out one time. He preached the word. It went something like this. And I called it the business as usual preaching. He said, you know, I've always done it like that. I like doing it like that, and I really don't want to change. And see, that's stubbornness. That's just setting your ways. And so God is determined to change us. And so we can't be so set in our ways that, but when the reproof comes, and it's almost like it's an automatic, it's first a kickback. And so that's why we have to get to continue preaching and all. But we want to come to the dining hall with an open face and an open heart, with a readiness to receive the word. You know, even if you find yourself missing the mark, and you say, then you just got to cry out, woe is me, I'm undone, Lord. You know, so, but if you come here and you think that Pastor Rice, he's preaching, he's talking about me, and he's not talking about you, you know, or you're sitting here and you're going, that's it, Pastor, get him. I'm glad you finally did that. You know, if you're here and you're listening for it, it's for you. Now, all these things have been said before, saints. I'm not saying it hasn't been said before. I'm just agreeing what he said and saying the same thing. So in the multitude of counsels of safety, and so, you know, a godly counsel is always going to be the same. It never changes. So, you know, this is some of the attributes of the Pharisees. Just to let you know if you're operating as a Pharisee. Number one, you're not teachable. Number two, you get angry when somebody reproves you concerning your actions. Number three, you don't receive instructions. And four, and when you rose up towards your brother, it was because he was doing right. Now, again, we get told these things all the time. And so we have to examine ourselves. Too often we're examining our neighbor. Do I know anything about that? Absolutely. You know, it's always easy, you know, and you can be distracted in that. And that's why Pastor talks about the parable. You know, you're looking over there, looking over here, you're looking over there. Well, you need to look here. Because I'm the man. You're the man. Hallelujah. Okay, now, be careful not to go to the battle presumptuously. Sent to sin. What I'm saying, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 1, when Moses sent the spies in to spy out the land. And they said, now go up and possess the land. Well, they didn't want to go. So then all of a sudden they say, well, we didn't do right. Well, now we're going to go. Moses said, no, now you're going presumptuously. And went there and got their butt kicked. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying if God puts you in a situation in Providence, then he's going to bring you through it. Okay. But if you look over there and you say, hey, I see some evil over there and stuff. You know, I'm a spiritual giant. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to go kick some butt. You better not. You better not. Take heed. Because you might be going presumptuously. You might get your butt kicked. So the thing is like the scripture says, be careful. You think you stand lest you fall. You know, carefulness is something we always should do in all our dealings. And, you know, we see examples of, every example is a good example of what not to do or what not to do. You know, we've seen some here that, and even me standing up here and preaching, I've seen folks that preached and they jumped off the spiritual deep end. Well, that caused me to tremble. But I'm receiving instruction in that. So I say, well, Lord, help me just to not get the big head. You know, I'm always, if I know anything about having the big head, oh, yeah, much about it. So I look for humility. I look to because I know God resists the proud. And so, you know, we have to believe the word of God for the word of God. In this battle, we have to hold what is written, every word. And that pastor talks about this all the time. You can't pick and choose. You know, and even as Sister Diane's testimony, there are folks that consider Jesus as a savior but not Lord. You know, you got to take the whole road. You live by every word. So whenever you come here, it should be with a readiness. And that, a lot of times, takes some preparation. I try to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I look forward to that because when I wake in the morning, I realize I'm God's son, and I'm looking for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I spend time, and for the most part, I could sit in my chair and read the scriptures and all, and I pray, and the Lord will speak to my heart. If you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you, and that's Hallelujah. Sweet. And that prepares me for the day. You know, if you're just going to get out of bed, flop out of bed, come in here, no preparation. Well, you're probably not going to fare well during the day. And one reason I do this too, because the man of God does it. He's an example in our midst. And I have proven that out it works. And so it helps me to have an open face, an open heart. And not only that, but in the evening times, I listen to broadcasts. Again, a lot of times I listen to Daily Bread and all. You know, I want to hear some, I want to hear things that will help me and strengthen me. You know, is this activity I'm doing, is this conducive for me to making ready for Jesus to come? Is this activity I'm doing, is this helpful for me to get along with my neighbor? You know, let me ask myself, is this activity, is this right? Should I be doing this? You know, and that's how we should do it. Because, you know, we deceive ourselves. Your neighbor don't deceive you. Your brother don't, you deceive yourself. And that's what Brother Stair said. So that applies to me too. So what I try to do is be honest with myself. Have I ever tried to slicking myself? Oh, absolutely. You know, that's why I know. I've never done anything right by doing it right. You know, I went through the holier than thou one time, thinking I'm spiritual and you know, every kind of thing you could do and whatever and all. I'm not saying I'm walking in full perfection. I'm undone like the rest of us. But I'm learning obedience to the things I suffer. I try to learn a lesson. It's like when I was a young boy and I asked my mother if I could burn my hand when I put my hand on the iron. She said, go ahead and try and do it. Well, I did. Well, I didn't have to do that again. And that's how we should learn our lesson. Not just keep going around the mountain. Even that was written for our learning, so that we don't keep going around the mountain. Because the ones that kept going around the mountain didn't enter in. That should cause us to move with fear. So that's why it says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness.
Yes.
You know, so when your brother smites you, it gives you a perfect up. Now, I'm not saying let's go around and smite one another and all. No, we're going to sin enough in our days, in our iniquities, in our coming up short, that we won't have to go over there. We're just going to do it until we're changed. And so, but God's, now I want to talk about human compassion. This is the one. Okay, human compassion is one gall of bitterness relating to someone else's gall of bitterness. Now, in Rico's situation, if he talked to Sister Bakia and he was telling, oh, Sister Bakia, you know, they didn't do me right and all that and stuff. And then Sister Bakia said, yeah, you're right, Rico. They didn't. Now, don't do that. Because when you do that, a lot of times what you do is you're strengthening that bond, that sore. And a lot of times we do that inadvertently and we don't realize it. So that's why it's important. If you're going to give somebody any kind of counsel, always say what the Bible says.
Amen.
You know, Pastor Rice was a perfect example of that. I used to call him down in Louisiana. I'd say, oh, Pastor, you know, there's such and such. And he'd say what the Bible said. And I'd say, why don't he tell me what I need to hear? Well, he was.
Amen.
He was. Because maybe I'll just use, like, let's say Brother Charles and Sister Sharon have some, there's some turbulence in their house. Okay. And then, which is bound to happen. Okay. So the next day, Sharon, she sees Sister Edie, and she says, Charles, ain't doing me right. He ain't doing me right, you know. And so now Edie wants to have compassion on her, trying to comfort her and stuff and all. But the thing is it may turn out she's not obeying her husband. See what I'm saying? And she may not convey that, because when she gives her part of the story, she puts herself in the best light. Oh, Charles, and Charles might do the same thing with Sharon, okay? But so that's why you would say, well, Sharon, you know, let God work it out, or something like that, you know. Just a simple example, okay? Right, because if you start saying, oh, yeah, Charles, hey, that bugger, well, then doing that, you'll start to, and you have a good intention, you know, you think you want to do right, and you have, but in doing so, you could be making the situation worse. Okay, let's see. So he cleanses the wound. By the blueness of the wound, evil is cleansed. So God continually wounds us. So we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then when you're contrite, then you'll no longer have any issues. Your bitterness, contrition comes and it doesn't have an issue. So God engineers our trials, and God visits our iniquity with stripes, and Somewhere you're going to be rejected, and God visits our sins with chastisement, physical affliction. So what I'm saying is, I tell Sister Ann all the time, your afflictions, I think they come in basically two kinds. You know, one, you're being afflicted because you've gone astray, or it's a Job affliction, where God's just putting you through a trial and all, but it's all for your good. Now, you're not going to know each one every time, per se. You just have to understand it. This is God's, and if you can just consider this as a manifestation of the righteous judgment, he's counted you worthy to suffer his namesake. So in your afflictions, it'll help him to be light to you when you consider this is God loving you, and this is his way of saving you. And in the process of doing that, you just wait for your change to come. You know, now that don't mean you're not going to suffer. Suffering. But, you know, in the process of doing that, and sometimes it says that our suffering is a consolation, comfort others. I mean, I think about Sister Matthews over there all the time. My God, I hear about how that she goes through and stuff. And, you know, and so, you know, okay. And some of us, is like we stub our toe and we think we need to take a week off. You know, and so we're not really looking at that right. You know, and if we understand it, even to that, here we are in the land of Goshen. Okay, all that's going on out there. My God. You know, we should get up to the prayer house every day and say, oh, thank you, Lord. How great thou art. How great thou. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, let's see. So the righteous are going to scarcely be saved. You know, you're going to escape, saved basically by the skin of your teeth, in a sense. And it'll be like, it's sort of like you'll be sort of hanging over a cliff with holding on by one branch or something, and God's going to come and save you in the nick of time. And I say that because, you know, sometimes it's sort of like if you were boxing and you're in the boxing ring and you're on a mat and you're getting pounded. And so, well, just stay in the ring. Don't get out, because, you know, what you have to realize is that God's not going to put you through more than you're able to bear. Now, sometimes you'll feel like, oh, my God, can I take this? So that's why you have to apply the word in these situations. You use your sword of spirit, the word. So whatever I go through, and I've been through some intense trials, but I always go back to that. I say, well, Lord, evidently, even with Sister Ann, I say this is a hard task that God has honored me with.
Amen.
And I look at it that way. I don't, it's not a drudge to me. I realize it's God working out something, me and her, and all of us. And so putting God in knowledge and walking in the truth helps me to get through it. Now, does that mean we're going to have trials, we're going to have afflictions, you know, we're going to have ups and downs. But in that, stay in the ring, because he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And so we don't know what's ahead each day. And I was reading... I've got some information, Brother Brandon, about the seven church ages. And, you know, basically it says that I guess they considered the hardest one was the one with the Romans, where they were persecuting the Christians and they were crucifying and all that. But this tribulation, this time, supposedly is going to be most intense it's ever been since that. Now, how are we going to get through it? God's going to bring us through.
Amen.
Now, you know, and so what we have to do now, we need to be strengthening the things that remain. And the counsel that Pastor Rice said is to draw nigh to God. It doesn't mean we're going to put up a bunch of food or ammunition and all that and stuff. No. So what we do, we have to take time to exercise our faith. And God is putting us in a situation, I call it the Saints Greenhouse. All the elements are in place. Now, you just have to walk in it. Walk in. And first thing you got to do is get out of the way.
Amen.
Realize that your old man is, our worst enemy is ourselves. Yeah, we oppose ourselves so much. And so, one thing I do is I realize, and I believe this, we are the most stubborn, rebellious, iniquitous generation there's ever been. And Brother Stier said, are we the most rebellious? But this house right here is the most rebellious. So how do I deal with that? I say truth, Lord. So what I do every day, three times, three, four times a day, I says, Heavenly Father, I said, thank you for Pastor Rice. Help me to obey and receive him, strengthen his calling. Because have I ever rebelled against this man? Absolutely. But not purposely, per se. A lot of times it just shows up. It shows up because it's in here. So, but I acknowledge that. I say, because this is the man that's been given the rule over me. And so, like I said, have I ever? Absolutely. Ever been angry with him? Of course. How do I deal with that? Well, first of all, I realize that that's not right. You know, so I say, Lord, I'm angry with the man of God, but I know that's not right. And so, and as I have gone through this, now I don't get angry with him as much or whatever. I don't know if the last time I've been angry, sir, but I have been angry with him. But what I'm saying is it's always the acknowledging the truth, the walking in the truth. You know, if I'm not doing right, I just say I ain't doing right. You know what I'm saying? If being with that, you know, when I was out in the world, I was being sneaky, doing this and doing that and whatever. And I thought, man, I'm getting away with this. Never got away with nothing. And that's the thing. If you think you're sneaking around and you're pulling a fast one on God, you're not doing it. So you might think that, you know, and because sentence against evil work is not speedily executed, it's fully set in the heart of men to do evil. Well, until we're changed, we all have that potential. You know, I mean, you look out there and you see whatever, all the things going on and this and that and whatever and all. And well, except for the grace of God, there go we. You know, but this grace now, we don't want to frustrate it. You know, we all have this grace, we can appropriate it. And I always like the account of Paul. He said, I labor more upon y'all, yet not I, but the grace of God is with me. Okay, so he understood that. So if I do anything right, it's by the grace of God. For me to submit to man, when I was in the world, I told everybody, you know, anyway. But now I realize that was against me. And so I'm glad that I'm not the same man I once was. So, and God is changing me. And I agree with that. I agree with that. This work we have with God is a parallel walk. It has to be in complete agreement.
Amen.
You can't agree with this and not agree with that. Pick and choose, pick and choose, pick and choose, picky eaters. No. We live by every word, saying. So even if you, so anytime the word is preached, you either done it, you're doing it, you have the potential to do it, or maybe you've got some deliverance on it. But remember with the deliverance, though, be careful, because you can get the big head. You can say, oh, look at me. You know, I thank the old Lord, I ain't like these guys, you know. So in any of these places, situations you find yourself, it always requires humility. And you will always try to seek for a place of humility. Otherwise, you'll, because it's just a man to get the big head. Do I know anything about that? Oh, yeah. So God will bring every work to judgment, and God is known by the judgment he executes. And thank God for that, because for us, he's ordained as vessels of mercy. So, you know, if we confess our faults, oh, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Well, I got some faults. And he gives his Holy Spirit to those that obey him. So, you know, and if we really believe what Brother Steer said, you know, he said, not one idol of thy will is going to get you into the kingdom. So if you're not each day really from the heart trying to lay down your will and seek what God would have you do so that you end up willing to do God's will, against your will, with your full consent.
Amen.
So if we go to do God's will, well, that's really not us. Because as a mere man, we do our, and we proved it.
Amen.
So you remember this. So sin is part of, you know, God works with our sin and stuff, and it's part of his eternal purpose, to, because he's saving us from our sin. You know, we're sinners. And like you said, the Bible teaches two things, basically, that all men are sinners and God saves sinners. So what we have to understand, though, is that we need to be saved. Right. And so if we keep saying, well, I guess I'm okay. I'm not like this guy. And I'm doing that, but I'm not doing that. And no.
Amen.
Until we're done, we're going to be dealing with our sin and our iniquity. Thank God he hasn't. He promised to subdue our iniquity. Well, how is he going to do that? Well, he's going to put it in, He's going to put it in our heart to do His will. Amen. And we'll subdue our own iniquity. So thank God His determination to save us. Hallelujah. So I want to read this one here. Let's see. I read this. Okay, so even, you got to understand too, saints, that, you know, and I'm real careful with this, even with the man of God, you know, when David was carrying up the ark, the ox stumbled. And so even in that, you know, the man of God will find themselves coming up short. But God uses that in situation like with Brother Stair, you know, when he confessed his sin, he would always say, well, why did God let me fall into this? Why did He keep me from it? And so, in like Pastor brought this out to, who knows how many works He did with that? Okay, now I'm not saying it was right for the sin per se. I'm saying in God's permissible will of God, He permitted this and He'd use it to do a work in Brother Stair, in us. When Brother Stair confessed his sin, what I looked at was two things. One, first of all, my sin. I didn't look at him. I looked at what was going on in me. And I thought, in my mind, a couple of things. First of all, to me, Brother Stair, I was, he's getting way up here. The voice, the last day prophet of God. And I was thinking too highly of him. And I thought, so when God showed me he was a man just like me, and he had to work out of salvation, that helped me. It actually strengthened me. I thought, wow. I said, he's like me. He got to work out of salvation the same as I do. You know, and then, but the other thing was, is I seen him magnifying grace. Why? Because I needed it. You need it. So I wasn't looking at him. I was looking at me. And so I thank God. See how God can use that to do a work and stuff? So the thing is, you know, sometimes we think, well, I, you know, and that's what people got presumptuously. They said, they, you know, they tried to square up the man of God. And don't do that. And like, you know, now we got Stan out there, Truth Blaster or whatever. Their whole ministry is the blast of prophet. Crazy, you know. But see, we should receive instructions because we can do the same thing in a Lord more subtler form. So if God's letting us see that out there and all, just like this, what is He showing us? See? So we always want to look within, not so much out there. So let's see. And the other thing is because God used the preaching to save us, the enemy is going to always try to, you know, if you're in a battle and in war, you know, you try to customize your attack and all based on the amount of damage you can do. So if we can get us not to hear the man of God or not to receive him. And I remember a testimony I gave, and I believe the Lord allowed me to go through this, and even for this point, so I can use it for edification now, is I woke up one morning, and let me get a little drink of water. Anyway, I woke up one morning, I was here visiting, and all of a sudden, it's like the spirit was attacking me, and it was so strong, I felt just helpless, like I couldn't do anything. And it was trying to get me to come against Brother Stair, receiving the man of God. Now remember, God put me, let me go through this. I'm putting God in the knowledge. So I thought, for just a second, I said, God, am I going to make it through this? I'm thinking, and now I don't think this was in my heart, but it was like I was fighting. But it's like I felt like I had no strength in my own. An amazing thing happened. All of a sudden, from within me, I said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. And that thing was gone. And as much as it was trying to know why was that. And so I asked the Lord afterwards. I said, why did you let me go through that, Lord? He wanted me to see how important it is for you to have to receive the man of God. Because if he can get you, look, if he can get you not to receive the preaching of the man, then he got you. See what I'm saying? He can move you away. He can get you. See, because the work is to believe on him you sent. And that's also your brothers and your sisters. It works. It goes in everything. So that's why we want to always be determined to know nothing among us. If you got to witness that a brother is a brother and a sister is a sister, whatever situation, then you make sure that you have the right response. If they don't do right, you do right. Because charity never fails. It doesn't fail for the one that manifests it. So you always make sure that you, so if they get the idea, well, I'm just not going to do right. Because you're a Christian, you need to do right about my not doing right. Well, that's still right. You make sure you do right. And God will give you the grace, and he'll help you to do it. Because we won't do this on our own. You know, as a mere man, you know, I had sort of a live and live, live type attitude when I was in the world. But if you mess with me, I'd roll over you like a steamroller. Okay, you wouldn't want to meet my old man. Okay, so, or anybody's old man for that matter. But the thing is I remember when Benjamin out there, he was getting rough. He was getting violent with the brothers. And even in God's term, Pastor was long, we were long suffering with him, and we were trying to preserve him and help him. But finally Pastor told him, he said, if you get physical with the brothers again, you're going to have to go. And that's what ended up happening. But anyway, one day we're at the job, and that spirit came on him. He come up and punched me in the nose. He probably broke my nose. My nose been broke several times. I had nothing within me to even want to retaliate. I didn't. In fact, I felt sorry for him in a sense, because I knew now that he had done that he'd have to go. So we need to get to that place. But that's the Lord's doing, because there had been a time I'd have stomped him. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Let's see. So I want to read this last one, and I think I'll be finished. Let's see, let me start here. Thank you, Jesus. So, I often think about God is angry with the wicked every day, and he's angry with his people. But it's the anger of a father that loves his children. He wants us to do right. So even in that, we can be comforted. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, though inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So when I think of the goodness of Jesus, woo, and all that he's done for me, then my soul cries out, hallelujah! Thank God for saving me. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, ain't God good? Brother Timothy, you did real well, man. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. I knew you could do it, brother. All right, we're going to let Edward pray for us. Yeah, I was blessed. As they would say, he was sitting tall in the saddle. To God be the glory. We speak the same thing. It should be like that, huh? Glory, glory. That encouraged my heart, because I see the fruit of my labor. Huh? I see that he's a partaker of my grace. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this day, Father God. If nothing else, Lord God, just for the results of Brother Timothy's preaching, Lord God, to let the pastor know and let us all know, Lord God, that it is possible to speak the same thing.
Amen.
All we have to do is yield to the Spirit of God, hear the Word, hear what the Spirit is saying, and by the Word, and be willing to obey the Word. And we won't even have to put forth the effort of ourselves.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is one spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He's always going to say the same thing.
Amen.
No matter who he speaks through. So what a blessing, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for a congregation of people who have you've brought aside, and you're nourishing our hearts. You're changing our hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what we need. We all need change of heart, Lord God. And so, Father God, yes, Father, thank you for this blessing today. And let us go forth, I pray, to speak the same thing.
Amen.
Being willing to speak the same, wanting to speak the same thing.
Amen.
And most of all, wanting to encourage one another and wanting to hear what the Spirit saying to the church, wanting to submit to authority, all the things that we've already heard, Father, I don't need to say any more. I just say thank you and ask that you help us, Lord God, again, to take this example, Lord God, and be willing to yield to the operation of your hands in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, Father, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Edward, for praying for us. All hearts and minds clear. Go forth to the battle. Maranatha, saints, the Lord is coming. Lord bless you, saints. Maranatha, the Lord is coming.
Is Brother Stern deceased now? I wonder. Yeah. But anyway, what do y'all think about, Jesse Nessie Jackson? Are y'all going to do, a sermon upon him sometime? Being that false prophet and Antichrist. Let me know if y'all have any read material on him. My name is Mr. Keith Mullins, so I'll be expecting to receive any, read material or literature that y'all have on Jesse Messi Jackson and Bill Clinton, for that matter. He caught that package of the gay disease, messing around with other males. I think Jesse Jackson may have been messing around with other males as well, because he was hugging Bill Clinton a little bit too close at one time or another. Remember that one photo op or picture? I was like, what? That's why he called his organization the Rainbow Coalition. Because he's catering to the LGBT community. You know what I'm saying? And they ripped that off of the 60s Flower Child Children movement, the revolutionary hippies back then during the 60s. They just plagiarized that and used it for their own symbolism. The LGBTers, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender peace and folks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, tell me if you have anything on Jesse Messi Jackson. God willing, not he had something to do with the assassination of the late great civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I think he did. I'm one person that believe he did, compared to others that tend to differ. Now he gone to meet his maker. I heard that he was a third degree Freemason at that. Jesse Messi Jackson. Calling, black Indians, black Africans. Ain't that something? Jesse Jackson. Or Jesse Messi Jackson.